A staple of a good ad campaign is a memorable slogan or jingle, something that gets consumers to connect a brand name to a catchy phrase, good to the last drop, or just do it, or good. In fact, the strategy has worked so well that even basic agricultural products now have their own taglines. Pork, the other white meat, is one. But unlike brand name manufacturers who voluntarily ante up billions for successful ad campaigns, pork farmers and cattle ranchers are required by law to pay for the promotion. And not all of them are happy about it. A few of them have now gone to court claiming that these programs violate their constitutional right to free speech. As NPR's John McChesney reports, they've met with mixed success.
Commercials pushing beef and pork consumption pop up frequently on radio and television, like this one, featuring the voice of movie actor Sam Elliott and the music of Aaron Copland.
Maybe that's why beef's called the comfort food. It makes even an uncomfortable situation enjoyable. Beef, it's what's for dinner.
It's not real comfortable out here for these cows on a cold, foggy morning in Galt, California, at the Cattlemen's Livestock Market. Hundreds have been rounded up and trucked in to be auctioned off for slaughter. White plumes of steam rise from their nostrils and form a thin layer of haze hovering over their pens. Gates slam, and in ones and twos, they make their debut in a small indoor arena in front of a few grizzled buyers for the big slaughterhouses. And for each animal sold, the seller must pay a $1 per head fee that's sent to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association to be used for programs that are supposed to benefit the beef industry, including promotion and research into safety and new product development. Last year, the so-called checkoff program yielded about $80 million. Max Alvera operates Cattlemen's Livestock Market.
It's taken out here automatically. They have to pay it, and whether they're for it or against it.
And there's no consensus among producers.
It's right down the middle. I think if you polled a group of cattlemen, you're going to come up with a kind of a 50-50 split somewhere in that vicinity.
In fact, the checkoff has become one of the most contentious issues dividing ranchers. Jack Souza, a small rancher who is here looking over stock, doesn't hesitate to give his opinion about the checkoff fee.
I think the cattlemen are getting screwed, plain and simple, for what we're getting back for it, for what it's costing us. I don't see any purpose for it, and there's lots of other industries that you're not required to do that in. And they still survive.
Souza's objection to the fee is economic. He and others like him say the checkoff hasn't helped them, but others are benefiting without kicking in a dime. John McBride is with the Livestock Marketing Association, whose customers are mostly small and mid-sized ranchers.
What a lot of producers are saying and are objecting to about the checkoff is that they are paying for promotion that subsidizes somebody else's bottom line. Packers are doing okay. Retailers are doing okay. Producers have not been doing okay for the last couple of years.
There is no unified objection to the checkoff. Some ranchers simply want more voice in the way their money is spent. But the checkoff has become a flashpoint for an industry that's undergoing tremendous change. Four big packing houses now control roughly 80% of the meat market. Small ranchers and hog farmers find their already slim profit margins dwindling even further. So some, like Steve and Gene Charter, have focused on finding a niche market for their beef. They now raise organic grass-fed beef.
We want and need to be able to speak for ourselves as such. Our interests are not the same as the big, basically global corporate conglomerates. And we shouldn't be forced to be mouthpieces for their views.
They say that promoting just any old beef may be opening the door for more imported meat. And they say their beef isn't the same as the beef grown in big feedlots, where the use of hormones and antibiotics is common. So the charters have sued, saying their First Amendment rights are being violated because they're being forced to support speech that they disagree with. Eric Jaffe is their lawyer.
And what these generic advertisements say, they send a message that, go out and buy any old beef. And that's not really what these folks think. They think there's a difference between their beef and other people's beef.
Monty Reese is the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, which runs its The What's for Dinner campaign. He has little patience with the argument that niche producers don't benefit from the program.
From my perspective, it's bogus, because if you're engaged in a business to produce a product, it's a little difficult to understand how the promotion of that product building demand for that product, improving sales of that product wouldn't benefit you directly. So it rings hollow on my ears.
Craig Christensen is with the Pork Board, the organization that oversees that checkoff program. He worries that these lawsuits will damage the positive effect of the programs.
That continually gives a black eye to what we've been doing. If you look over the past, well, probably since about 1987, 1988, somewhere in there, we've increased U.S. consumption of pork by 21%. Well, that's checkoff funded.
Nevertheless, besides the Charters case, similar lawsuits have been filed in South Dakota and against the pork checkoff program in Michigan. The government has staked much of its defense on the idea that these promotions constitute government speech, things that government agencies have to say publicly to carry out their mission. For example, the government can use commercials to get people to enlist in the Army. But the beef and pork promotions occupy a gray area in between private and government speech. The beef and pork boards insist that the programs are run by producers, not the government. But by law, the USDA does appoint members of both boards. Again, lawyer Eric Jaffe.
Is this really the government talking? I mean, if it were the government talking, then why aren't they paying for it with government tax dollars? They're not. They sort of have this special assessment.
So far, the lawsuits have yielded mixed results. The Charters lost in Montana, but have appealed. In South Dakota and Michigan, the programs were ruled unconstitutional. The USDA has appealed both those cases. Observers say the issue will almost certainly end up in the Supreme Court, which may bode well for checkoff opponents. In 2000, the Supreme Court decided in favor of a mushroom producer who objected to a similar checkoff program. The court held that the First Amendment rights are in jeopardy if the government can compel an individual to subsidize speech he or she does not support. If that happens with beef and pork, other checkoff programs like the dairy industry's Got Milk campaign would be in jeopardy as well. John McChesney, NPR News, San Francisco.